Accession number 16713, Mr. M. Waterston, Reel 17.
Mr. Waterston, Reel 17. You're telling me, or about to tell me, about the Irishman.
No, wait. They opened a camp up in a place called Gentshagen. It was just about 11 kilometres outside of Berlin. And it was run by the... supposed to be run by the YMCA.
In what ways? YMCA, that seems a bit of a strange body to be running a prison camp.
Well, that was what it was, the Young Men's Youth Hostel Association. Same as the Red Cross. It didn't, you know, in cooperation with the Red Cross. Now, when the Russians, when they needed troops for the Russian, they took all the Irishmen out of the pits and took them to this camp for to try and brainwash them. Oh, there were about 400, I think it was, about 400 of them. And they got 19 out of the 400 that went to fight on the Russian front. Not on our front, mind. Not on, they didn't, but on the Russian front. And besides, they were just, you know, vagabonds, you know, they were. And the camp got bombed that much, they had to close it down. Well, they didn't actually close it down, like, but they had to, like, halt it. No, it was run by British troops, you know, the Sergeant Major, I didn't know, you've heard of Warrant Officer Brown with Philby and them, the spies. Well, anyway, there's a staff quartermaster sergeant, they called him Burl Brown, who was in charge of this camp. And he was a British spy. He was a British intelligence officer. And they opened the camp up again with more taken over by the Red Cross, not the YMCA, the Red Cross. See? And they tried it on to get a lot of the lads that had been walking down the pit for a year. They would give them a fortnight away and then out of the pits. And they were going to try and brainwash them. Well, we all got picked out of about all the camps round about, Blackhammer and all of them. And we got halfway there the first time, and the camp got bombed that much, they couldn't let us go in anyway. It was closed down for another fortnight or 3 weeks, I think it was. And we had to get back through on camps.
How long had you been a prisoner now when this happened to you?
About 4 years.
So that...
Why, not quite, about 3.5 years.
So the Germans were after losing the war stage now?
Yeah. And we were bombing Berlin. It was just about when the daylight, the Americans and the British started the night time and daylight bombing.
then?
I mean, they didn't have plasters. Didn't have plaster Berlin. I was in Berlin the time they were bombing London and that. And I saw Berlin after, you know, after I come back off the war, I saw London. It wasn't a patch on Berlin. You know that Unter den Linden there, that was blown nearly away, that. We used to go in there regular. So anyway, we'll start back. We went there about 3 weeks after the first attempt we made. And the Red Cross, the idea had been given to the Red Cross, but they had to stop brainwashing, the knee brainwashing and all that. They did try a little bit, like, but you know. But this staff quartermaster sergeant, Brown was in charge, and there's a sergeant major in charge of the, you know, the towns, and the power sanitators, is what we call Melliger orderlies and that. Good stuff and all that. And we went, there's like a holiday camp. And we had nowhere else to do. We could put on concert. We had a band. The lad Lang Hartlepool had a, Jimmy Hutchison had a smashing band. All lads, it was good instrumentalists and all that. And the first few days we were there, they tried to mock us, because I used to sing with a band and that, like, and I got on, I was there for about 6 weeks, to tell the truth. And they brought in a big machine, which to record, they were supposed to be recording for the Red Cross to send home for our parents, you know, to hear our voices and that. But it wasn't, it was supposed to be to brainwash us, to get us, you know, to get us to see things, you know, and that.
So this was an attempt to...
To brainwash.
Propaganda, in a sense.
Propaganda it was, really, aye. It was going to be used for propaganda.
Did this camp have a number or a name? Or
A3, Genshagen. And we used to get there, we used to be mucking records. But instead of mucking records, you know, to suit there, we made them to suit ourselves, you know, they had the band and the singers in the band. So we had two or three records with it. But when they said we went corporate with them, they took the whole blinking bong shay out and out, all to here. But I was supposed to go on the staff there. That I was on the staff, and we used to go out to Berlin, and we'd been prisoner of war a long time. And some of the lads that was there but hadn't been prisoner of war very long. I went to visit the Olympic Stadium and all that. And
was this under escort?
Yeah, under escort, oh aye. But we went out under escort, down on the underground, you know, see? They had like a loop underground, just same as what they're in London. But us lads that would be prisoners of war a long time could speak German, and we used to, instead of getting off the train with the guards, we used to get off the train before the guards, all the stations was alerted, we just gun in down any time we like, you know, anywhere we land, you know, get off one train, you know, and get onto another one, you know, just to be awkward, like, you know. We never used to get anywhere with it. But when we used to gone from a place called Lichtersfeld Station, and that's the thing I want to fetch out, but Lichtersfeld Station, from there to Berlin on the underground thing. And we just used to jump off at any station, but the guards, the big blokes with the big silver badges on here, you know, they used to look out for us and chase us back on. We just used to get off one and get, you know, get onto another one, really, you know, and just got in. And we, the guards used to be waiting for us when we got into the end. We used to go into there to go into the dentist, you know, the dentist, this hospital where these British officers was, where I got this done. We used to go in there for to get our teeth seen in and have any, you know, and any wounds bandaged that we had. And when we used to go and off, when we finished at the hospital, we used to go out sightseeing, you know, they used to take us through sightseeing. Because instead of the guards having the dry rifles from the use of a carrier revolver, and we used to take us all over, and we were in where the Nazi headquarters was there in that Berlin Square and all that there. And did when the started the daylight and that bombing raids, we used to gone down. And used to say, oh, you cannot go down that way. You've got to go around another line, you know, because the line had been bombed and all that. We used to go down. And we used to go through Berlin. We used to, there was only one car truck all the way through Berlin. Now, you could look from the train into towards Berlin. You could see for miles and miles where it, if the place was leveled flat, you know, where it had been bombed and all that. And every night, about a certain time there, you would just maybe just have a roll call and they would fasten up for the night, and then the sirens used to start it. And mind, they had some smashing shelters for us, mind, and all, mind. The great shelters, two right away down. And we used to, they used to get us out into the shelters, and they used to bomb us from all night. Oh, dear me, we slept mad in the shelter, and when we slept in the blinking barracks.
How did the Germans take to that, then, this bombing? Did you?
They didn't like it. They didn't like it. But then, I mean, at this time, part of the, you know, when they were getting beat, they were starting to, they had to accept it. And, I mean, you could, we used to come to the top, up the steps, and come to the top and look out the doorway, and you used to see. The first time that it was raided, we all come got hit. And the bloke that was in charge, he wrote to the Red Cross and this, that, the other, and I mean, they knew where he was. And after that, it was never hit anymore. They used to come over, because, I'll tell you why they used to come over our camp, and they used it as a marking spot. They used to drop a ring of incendiaries right away around our camp. Midway around our camp, because there was a ball bearing. We used to go down to this station for the gun to Berlin, and on the other side of the station was like a big colliery, you know, pulleys wheels and all that. And under it used to go right away underneath our camp and everything. And it was the Mercedes-Benz ball bearing factory, where they used to make the ball bearings and all that for the planes and all that, and for tanks and different things, you know. And you would lie asleep at night, you can hear it going, you hear the purring, you know, the machinery going underneath. And you used to look out and you used to come over, drop them down, and then there was one, well, for about 3 nights off the belt, they hammered the blinking life out of this blinking, and was laid. Everything was quiet for about, well over a week before they got it back, and the pit head gear and everything was blinking, well bombed and everything, and of course we used to go around whistling. But how I found out, there was something queer on. I had to go to this bloke and ask him, because I was singing with the band and all that, ask him if there's any chance of getting kept back, you know. And he says, oh, I'll give you a job as a gardener. And I was always queer, you know, right? When the list used to go out for stuff, my name was never on it. Anyway, when it ended the 6 weeks I'd been there, it was about the third working party had been. I had to pack me kit and book it off back. And I was waiting all the time for the call. I'm saying, I keep saying, well, I'm supposed to be on the stuff. Yeah, you know, and the stuff, you've got to go and back. Well, when you came back, we came back to Teschen, which was how, after Stalag HB, there'd be a Teschen over headquarters. And I got into Teschen, all of us, about 18 of us, and we all went back, all the other lads went back to their own working party by me. I didn't have any, that was left on my own. So, it was while I was in that camp, I bumped into Tony Bainbridge, you know, Bobby Bainbridge, that got their name for escaping. And I bumped into him after he'd been captured the second time then. I looked at him, I said, oh! He says, what's that down here? Oh, he says, I told your mother. He says, I was talking to your mother, he says, a fortnight ago. I says, where? He says, we're down Howden. I says, well, how's the getting there? He says, man, he said, I've been out the Middle East. He says, back. So then, he'd been back and then got captured again, like, and it come through into Teschen. Anyway, when all the others went out back to their working parties, I says, there's something queer going on here. I always said it was something queer. So I went and visited the camp CEO, you know, asked for an appointment to see him. I didn't get an appointment to see him. And I went in and he says, asked us what my business was and all that. So I explained to him, I says, I understand this. I just came back from Genshagen. I says, from E3. Yes. He says, I thought everybody had gone back to their working parties. I says, that's what I thought. I says, but I haven't been allowed to go back. He says, He says, I wonder how that is. I says, I didn't know it. I says, but I think there's something funny going on here. So, he says, leave it with me and I'll say what's happening. So, a couple of days after the German interpreter come out, and in America, we called him American Joe, he could speak, he wasn't American, really. He says, are you the Lance Corporal that says, got to go out to your working party? I says, aye. He says, where did you come from? I says, from Genshagen, E3. Oh. So he went away, never come back to him after about 3 or 4 days. And he says, you'll have to come with me. I says, what's going to happen here? So what happened? They cut me hair off and took me photograph again. He says, how did you get back here? I says, with the working party that I was on. You know. I says, I was part of a working party. I phoned the working party up and to see if I was, if I was genuine. He says, we're 1 month short. Didn't come back. We've only got 7. We should have been 8, you know. Oh, aye. But in the meantime, they're getting another pun from Teschen, from Stalag 8B, to fill my place on the working party, see? We've got a man here, says he comes from your place, from C-72. Oh, aye. Waterston. Oh, aye, that's the lad we should have been back. Says, we can't come back now, because his place has been filled. My brother was on this working party, and I'll say if that's why we're both together. So he got back and he found I had no credentials, all me blinking credentials was never there. So I went and saw the Sergeant Major again. I told him. He says, there's been something queer going on. He says, anyway, he says, I'd made a couple of friends. He says, will you go out on a working party with your friends? I says, I left it. He says, your best, he says, idea is to go out on the working party. He says, and you can try and get transferred from the working party back to where your brother is. So I went out on a working party. That's when I went with the Scotch lads. And I think there's one, two, three. I was at four different working parties, 6 months at each time, different pits. I finished up in Krakow.
It was all pit work, mine work.
All mine work. But I never had to go down the pit anymore. You say we've been. That's it. That was the only rule that I struck to that when I come back from Gensargen, that I hadn't to go down the pit anymore. I'd served my term down the pit, you know. And I just used to say that, and that was on my documents. That was put on my documents. But I was used mostly as an interpreter, you know. If I went out on a working party, it was always on banking or Indian big wagons and not a coal and not. But I was mostly went as an interpreter. The guards, because the lads that was in this working, one of these, well, the camp that I went to mostly was lads that had just been captured after El Alamein and not Tobruk, you know, captured at Tobruk and that. I'd only been prisoners of war 18 months, and I'd been nearly after 4 and a half years nearly. No, that's how I finished up down. And it wasn't till years after. I was in a fish shop at home. And you know, these stories that used to get wrote in the Sunday Sun and all that. And there's some, you know, the newspapers on the counter there. But they used to wrap the fish and chips up with, you know, they just used to wrap them up in newspapers. And I read a story about Camp A3 and this Major Brown, Staff Sergeant Brown, about him being an intelligent here. And you push my mind start a blink and walk. And here's your buzz. I asked the woman if I could have the paper and I had it. And I read the paper. And Eddie mentioned my name about my credentials being used for an airman that had been brought down and had been living in his hut in his church for 3 weeks when I left, and that's how we got this transferred back to the camp for him to escape through the escape route. And this, when we were there, these lads, these medical orderlies and all that, I was good friends with them. We used to go and they used to tuck me into their rooms for supper nearly every night. And I went. One time I was in the camp, I was in my own camp after roll call, and somebody pointed out, oh, look here. And there's all of them. Three of them. Was that, but one bloke, thought he was a bit of undercover man myself. I think he was a German spy myself, like one of the medical orderlies, because he could speak German fluently, you know, and he lived in Germany. And they had all gone down to Berlin with blinking civvies, all in civvies. But Woodsy used to gone down and all, and he used to gone to a special coffee and meet these espionage blokes. And Philby was one of them. It went to Russia, you know.
This was in the newspaper.
It was in the newspaper.
So they'd use your credentials without
they'd
your knowledge.
They'd use my and without me none. And that's how I got back to Chisinau. I could have escaped. Nobody would have known nought about it. I could have been killed. Nobody would have been known nought about it.
Can you remember the names of any of the four mines that you were working in over the period of 6 months?
There's only one I can remember, the last one, I think. I haven't got much recollection of that part. They called it Swatchmere. And that's I was in the camp, and that's where the British medical officer was out, the 1st Battalion, Durham Light Infantry.
You said that when you were
that's where we started, that's where we repatriated from.
You said you were in your first mining camp, that you were near Auschwitz. Did you know what Auschwitz was at that time? Had you any inkling?
No. We didn't know what Auschwitz was, but we knew there was this concentration camps there because the Poles used to tell us, eh? Because they used to be, sometimes we would get friendly with a Pole and then you would never see him, he wouldn't come to work, he wouldn't see him anymore, but somebody's friends would tell you. That's where they used to shove them. You know, if you'd done something wrong or out like that, they used to shove them into Auschwitz and that. But when we used to go out, you know, to the hospital or out like that, we used to see them digging road drains, you know, and boy, they didn't know if you used to get some stick.
Were they in this concentration camp uniform?
Yeah, they used to have blue and white, grey white strips, you know. And we had another bloke. All this Brown that I was telling you about, this one, he wrote a book, you know, about his escapades and that at Kentargan. And another bloke called Sergeant Major Coward, I don't know whether you've read his stories or not, he read the story, and he was the bloke was working in the cement factory in the next village to us, where the pit was. And he used to have a party of 45 men, and they helped about six prisoners to escape from Auschwitz, and he got the VC. Sergeant Major Coward VC, he got the VC for it. Those boys, I wonder what happened to all them books that they wrote there now. They used to be in the libraries.
You mentioned that the one man you thought was a German spy. Was it common knowledge that there may be Germans amongst you that were listening to you?
Oh, by yes, yes, aye. They used to, what was the name they used to give them to him now? In the main camp and all that. They, oh, dear me, aye. I mean, well, there's been a television film on about one. The third, what was it?
You didn't actually have come across any in your camps?
No. This one that was at A3, I always thought he was always well dressed and everything, you know, and smart as out. And he was this sugary bloke and that and all that. He'd day out. I always thought, I mean, he was, when he used to, they didn't realise that we could speak German so well, you know. Used to listen to that conversation when they were talking to juries and all that, and he used to be talking about places where he lived and all that in Germany and this and the other. I never liked him.
Was your usual work period 14 hours? Was that the usual work?
That was the usual, morn till night, dawn till dusk.
Did your spirits ever lag? Did you think, oh, I'm never going to get away from here?
I thought I was going to die, really. I mean, when I got ulcers, we were worrying. I was in a bad way then. I was under about 6 stone. But, as I say, I went to the pits. My brother transferred from his working party down to me, and we were all together and all that, and we started getting things. We've got boosted up again. I mean, I've got to make, get among a good crowd of blokes and that. Rallied on.
Were your friends very important in this time?
Oh, friendship was good. I didn't think I ever made an enemy. Not among our lads. No, I was well liked. Because I used to try my best as any entertainment. I used to tag dancing classes for some of the lads. We used to get the band used to be on and we used to just have dances. You know, the lads dancing were lads and they used to say to me, "Why, what's the use of having a dance if you can't dance?" He says, "Oh yeah, I'll learn you." And yeah, I used to tuck them tones and that.